We have been looking into God's Word, and we have been pondering upon our duties as believers. We have looked at prayer in the Bible, and we have discovered that there are five parts to true biblical praying. True biblical praying is supplication, earnest entreaty for what we want God to give us. It is also the word prayer covers the general totality of our asking of God for His blessing. And then prayer is intercession. And what is intercession but the standing before God, pleading the cause of ourselves and our people? And then prayer is not only supplication and all manners of praying and all intercession, but it is marked by thanksgiving, because those that really pray get the answer and they hasten back to the throne of grace to give God the glory. Then on Tuesday night, we had the interesting subject of daring to be a Daniel. And we noticed three things about being a Daniel: our birth, our beauty, and our brains. And when God works on the heart of a sinner, He brings him into special agreement with God Himself by a mighty birth. We have been born again. And that mighty birth produces a beauty. Old hard sinners, I've seen them changed. Rough men with their tongue before, with vile vocabulary, I've seen them changed. Why? Because of the goodness of God. I was hearing about a man tonight who was telling a friend that 40 years ago, in a mission I had, he, a wild man and a dirty sinner of the vilest sort, was gloriously saved. And now he's a man with joy and the beauty of the soul saved coming through his eyes and coming to greet those that he greets. But with the birth and the beauty, there are brains. God gives to His people wisdom that they can understand the situation. Yes, we have these characteristics in a birth, in a beauty, and in brains. But we have also the characteristic of the triumph of the grace of God in our hearts. The devil overcome, God's purpose revealed, and the believer walking in the power of God, in the paths of righteousness, for God's name is glorified. And then, of course, there is also the trials of the Christian. Daniel could tell you something about his trials. So could every one saved. Oh, we all have trials. The devil gets at us. The world gets at us. The flesh gets at us. Circumstances get at us. The state of our health gets at us. But praise God, there is victory for me. In the blood of Christ, my Savior, there is victory. So we have seen the work of daring to be a Daniel. And we have seen the work of prayer. Tonight, I want to speak about prayer in relationship to the house of God. Prayer cannot be divided from the house of God. It is part of the building of God's house and the increase of those that are numbered in the kingdom of God. And the judgment starts at the house of God. Listen to this. 1 Peter 4:17. Judgment must begin at the house of God. This is where judgment begins among the people of God. And the first thing we learn about this matter is the building of God's house. The house of God has to be built. And of course, it has to commence. How does the house of God be commenced? It is commenced by the salvation of souls. God lays every stone in his own house. God takes every stone from the pit, cuts them out of the rock, cleanses them, and makes them clean, and puts them in to the wall that will stand forever. 10 million years from tonight. And the church that I belong to will still be standing. And there'll not be a score on one of the stones. They'll be shining like gold and silver and precious stones in the building of the house of God. And in the building of the house of God, we see God's commencement. He commenced with us when we were lost. He drew us to his own precious side. I feel upon my heart tonight the same feeling I had the night I was saved. It's the touch of the nail-pierced hand of Christ. Oh, touch me, Lord. Touch me this night. What a wonderful thing to feel the touch of the Lord. But the building of God's house is not only commenced and continued, but it is complemented. God brings others into the house of God. And what a joy it is when we meet up with a man or meet up with a woman that we've prayed for and talked to and pleaded with, and then they come and say, I've got saved. I remember meeting a man that I loved, but was a an evil, hard sinner. And the day that we met, after he was saved, people thought we were mad. Because that big boy, he put his arms around me. He nearly broke every bone in my ribs. And man, we shouted together and sang together. And people said, they're mad. No, we were glad. And someday, I'll meet all my family when I get to heaven. And everyone will hug me as I was hugged that day. And all of us will sing. And a miracle will happen. You'll sing in tune, sister. You'll sing in tune, brother. And you'll sing as you never sung before, the song of Moses and of the Lamb. The building of God's church. It's commenced. It's continued. And praise God, it will be completed. And one day, at a gospel service, the last stone will be cut. One day in a gospel service, the last soul to be saved will be saved. And then the trumpets of heaven shall sound, and Christ shall come. He's not going to gather the sinners, he's going to gather the saints. We will take pride of place in that day. Jesus is coming for his own people. So we have the building of the church. But we have something more. We have the beautifying of the church. There's nothing makes a man or woman so sweet as to be beautified with the love of Christ that passeth knowledge and all understanding. The finest compliment I was ever given, I was given by a man who wasn't saved. But he said, Ian, I don't understand you. He said, I've been reading in the press about you, and they say you're a wretch and a bad man and you should be thrown down out of all the places you are in. And he said, here you are, standing on the side of the road. And he says, you think you've been left £1,000,000. Oh, I said, brother, don't be mean. God never left one of his people £1,000,000. He left them all the pounds that are in the world. I said, I have a check book and I can write everything in it. And I can get what God wants to give me. Oh, thank God, tonight we can say God will beautify his church. There's nothing as beautiful as a saved soul. A man that one moment was running to hell, and now he's running and drawing the sweat. Where is he running? He's running up the hill. He's running to the place called heaven. I don't know whether sometimes you dream or not, even although you're still conscious of the fact. But many a time I've lain in my bed and I've thought of all the difficult things and all the trying things and all the disappointments that I have received in my day and generation. And then I have turned my mind to all the blessings God has given. One of the sweetest moments that I ever had in all my days was when I first visited Crumlin Road Prison. and I was shut in the cell. And the old warden said, you're in for 3 months, Paisley, and don't you forget it. 3 months? And what did I say? Hallelujah! And he went out and he said, you know, Paisley's mad. I thought he would be very much touched when I told him he was there for 3 months. But he's just shouted. And he said he didn't mind. And that day I knelt by that old mattress on an old tin bed. And I had the best revival meeting I've ever been in. My, I talked to the Lord. The Lord talked to me. And I sang and I shouted the victory. The victory. And I'm glad to say I didn't leave that prison without souls. God sent me there to win people to Christ, and thank God I won them to Christ. What a glory he sheds on the way. It's lovely to see the building of the house of God. It's more glorious to see the beautifying of the house of the Lord. But the greatest thing of all is the business of the house of the Lord. This house is in business. It's in business to reach souls. It's its business to go and get our arms round the lost and to pull them across to the Lord's side, and by prayer and supplication, saying they will be won for God. Now that does not happen except we have willing helpers. And the Lord's looking for helpers. Would you tell me, as you look at your life, does your life radiate such glory of the Lord that if you were not a Christian, you'd become a Christian because you have seen someone that is really and truly a child of God? Oh, there are miserable Christians. There are Christians that to look at, they would make you ashamed of Christianity. Flirting with the world, crying out for worldly things, with no pang in their heart for the lost, no gifts for the missionaries as they do their work in the darkest fields of this old globe. Oh, what a shame. But how different when you meet a man that's really saved. When you meet a soul that's living on the oxygen of heaven. His heart filled with the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What sort of advertisement are you for Christ? Are you a miserable bill poster that wouldn't attract, I was going to say, a toad? Is that what you're like? Or is your light so pure in your heart that people take knowledge of you, that you have been to Jesus for the cleansing power and are washed in the blood of the Lamb? What sort of Christians are we? There are so many Christians today, and one wonders, what sort of honey did they get on the day they were saved? Well, this honey that I got the day I was saved, it was everlasting. It's as bright and as sweet as it was the day I was saved. Glory to God. As Mr. Nicholson used to say, I've got inside assurance I'm his child. And one day, I'll see him, and I will be like him. Think of you like Jesus for all eternity. Do you ever think about that? Man, I'll be sorry I didn't meet you when you were like Jesus. We need to start and put on the garment of Christ and become like Christ here below. The world needs a bunch of men and women who are willing helpers, helping the Spirit of God in the great work of the salvation of the lost, who are overseers, willing to take upon their backs heavy jobs and heavy undertakings. Singers, there, you can sing in tune, as Mr. Nicholson used to say. You can sing in tune, out of tune, or no tune at all. But even a Christian that's redeemed and he sings with no tune at all, there's a sweetness about him as he sings. I remember standing at a church one day and there was a fella in the same pew. And you never heard such music. But you know, when I looked at him, his face was shining like the sun of heaven. Mr. Nicholson told me of the time when he went to the first communion service in his old Presbyterian church in Bangor. And he said, as I was singing the 23rd Psalm, he said, something struck me. And he said, I discerned a woman in a beautiful fur coat. And she was three pews in front of me. And she turned round and looked at me. And she gave me such a dreadful look, I wanted to go under the pew and hide myself. And then he said, a hand touched me and said, give her a hallelujah. And he said, I stood there and I shouted in that church, hallelujah! And then she was struck dead. She couldn't get turned round quick enough to get away from me. And he said, I had no difficulty with her anymore. She was silent all the service, but I was filled with the joy of the Lord. I want to tell you, we should manifest our joy. Oh, the world will not understand you. They'll say you're mad. You're a lunatic. They'll call you all manners of names. But praise God, you know that you're the child of God. I'm glad I'm saved. Are you not glad tonight that you're saved? Are you not glad you're on the way to heaven? Are you not glad you're not sitting in an old popish church with a minister that can't find a woman to live with, so he brings in a man to his rectory. Think of it. I said to the ex-Archbishop of Armagh, he's a member of the noble house that I'm a member of, and I said to him when I met him the other day, I said, I'm telling you, boy, aren't you glad you're no longer the Archbishop of that church? And he said, yes, I'm glad I got out in time. He says, Ian, isn't it terrible? Isn't it terrible? Think of it. A leader of the Church of Ireland bringing a man home and declaring, this man is my partner, and we're going to live together in the church house. And we have people now trying to justify it. How dark is hell? How terrible is the deception of hell? How awful is the grip of hell? But thank God I'm free. Thank God I haven't got the devil's chain on me. I'm free. Free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Don't sit like a Church of Ireland Episcopalian. Sit like a free Presbyterian and smile. My dear, you look well when you smile. You should keep smiling. We need to show the world that we have got something that is permanent and eternal. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And God put it into the heart of his son to save you. And one day you'll be built into the great walls of the new Jerusalem, where you'll sing the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his most marvelous light. May God bless his word to our hearts.